This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people.
Hi, and welcome back to Pick of the Bunch. My name is Francisca, and I'm your host for this episode. I'm also joined by my dear friend, James Schramko, who is talking about how you can delegate and outsource to free up your time. James is sharing some of the tools and systems that he is using to manage his virtual team, also how to find the right people and some of the biggest mistakes that he has made and that people are making when outsourcing. Enjoy this show. Hey, James, thank you so much for joining us on today's call.
Always good to catch up with you wherever you happen to be in the world.
You can talk. You just got back from Philippines, surfing in Fiji. What else was on your program on your last trip?
Well, that's the thing between you and I, that we could be anywhere at any time. So, yeah, I've got a pretty interesting year already mapped out. So
same.
It's great to catch up when we're back in our hometown.
Yeah, totally. No, I was just saying I have such a it's such a tough gig. I was just got off the phone with someone who booked me for a speaking gig in Fiji. And then I said, oh, could you maybe get me to talk the first day of this conference? It's a conference for lawyers, accountants, because I have to be in the Whitsundays the next day. They're like, wow, this is a little tough.
That's very funny. My wife keeps booking a music lesson, and then the teacher's asking when she's available next. But she said, oh, I've got to go to such and such, I'll be back after that. The teacher's like, what?
How do you do that? And that's exactly why I'm so excited to have you on for this particular episode, because we're talking about how to delegate and how to outsource to free up your time. And I know you've got quite an interesting story and background of building teams, and you obviously, like most of us, started out working really hard, working day and night and making this thing work. And then over the last few years, you've really figured out how you can outsource and how you can basically spend your time in the ocean surfing all day long, pretty much.
Well, that's pretty accurate. I think that's how we met, is that you were dealing with one of my services, but I certainly wasn't doing the work when you ordered that service. And it was certainly how most business owners start out, is they are doing something and then they realize that they run out of time. You only get, say, 180 hours per month. So if you want to grow bigger, you need to bring in other people. And there's really no company that you could name that doesn't have a team of some kind. As you grow, you just have to bring people in. But these days, you don't have to set up an office and bring in people to work in the office in your local neighborhood. And I know you've got part of that as your solution, and you've also got an external team. But big companies like in Australia, we have Telstra, for example, and of course the accountants who you might be speaking to, some of those accountants would be doing offshore business processing. So these days you can access labor in any country, and it makes sense that there are some places that are better than others. In my case, I chose the Philippines for building my team because they have great English, they have a low cost of labor. They're very family and loyal oriented, so they're great, and they've got an experience working for overseas companies, especially American companies, who are using a lot of labor in the Philippines. So that was an easy decision for me to do when I wanted to grow the business.
Yeah, and you know, as you say, it's so cool nowadays. You are not only reliant on talent in your suburb even, or in your city, you can really find the best talent anywhere. And as you say, we have a sort of semi-virtual team. So we have our head offices here in Sydney. And I do really like that, because the synergies and the things that come out of our headquarters are just stuff that I know wouldn't come about if we didn't have that one place together. But then we also have people pretty much, you know, you chose the Philippines. We have a few people in the Philippines. We have quite a few in Europe, especially for our design agency, because they are just really good talent. We just found some incredibly talented people in Europe, all over Europe, that are just the best of the best. And that's why we hire them. So it's, you know, now really the world is your oyster when you build a team. But where do you, you know, for our listeners that might not have people offshore yet, and are maybe looking into it, where do you even start with this? Like, do you need to build systems first, or how did you get started?
Well, I suppose the recognition that you can't do it all yourself is the first start, and I would start with a task audit. I'd figure out what it is that you're actually doing in your business and what are the other functions that you need done. Probably you're already doing it and you just don't know it. For example, if you have an external accountant who does your annual tax return, you're already outsourcing. If you have someone come and mow your lawn, or if you have someone else service your car, you're already doing it. So now it's a matter of, okay, we're doing this in our life in general. How do we get into our business and start doing this? Which tasks within the business don't absolutely have to be done by me or here in this physical place? And there's a lot of things that can be done elsewhere. Like you said, design is a classic. Website development is a common one. All sorts of content creation, curation, editing, transcriptions, syndicating. There's so many services that you can hire outside of your business. So the first step is just decide, you know, what it is that you're doing that you'd rather not do anymore. And it might be that you don't want to do it. It might be that you don't have capacity to do it. It might be that you're not even that good at it. And that's a classic. And the hardest one is the ones that you are good at, the things that you're very good at. You can still have someone else do that. So in your case, Francisca, if you were a very good presenter and representing your brand all around the world as you do, at some stage in your growth pattern, you might step back one layer and engage someone within your business as either full-time or a contractor to present on your behalf. And I actually explored that model once before with a licensed speaker who would go and speak on platforms while I was at home with my family, and he was out there representing my brand, and we were sharing in the profits from the sales. So there's so many ways you can do this. It's pretty exciting when you discover this idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so the first thing is just realize that, hey, if you want to scale your business and you want to reach more people, you want to increase your impact, you can't do it all. So you do need to build a team. Secondly, do a task audit and look at what are some things maybe you don't want to do, you're not very good at, or you just want to outsource them, and then find the right people. So where maybe the third step is either systems or where to find the right people.
So there's different types of people we can have. This the obvious one is to hire into your business full time. So it's the traditional way. And for that, you might craft an advertisement looking for the right person and run it in an area where you think that talent might be. So there are places you can advertise overseas for overseas people, and there are places you can advertise locally for local talent. You can use your traditional referral network, which I would strongly recommend. Getting a word of mouth recommendation is significantly safer and easier than trying to cold find someone. So, for example, in places like my own community, we have in Superfast Business, we have a wanted section, and people will often put, hey, look, I need someone who can, I need a virtual assistant, or I need a website developer, or I need someone who can, you know, compile reports, or I need someone who can do conversion rate optimization. And then people will pile in with recommendations. They might say, well, I've used this person, or here's a guy on this jobs board, here's someone on Fiverr, or here's a person who has been working my business, but we didn't have enough work for them, and he's available now as a contractor. So word of mouth is the strongest. And an interesting story for my own business is that I started with just one referral from a friend of mine who had a team in the Philippines. And I mentioned to him that I think I'm going to try a virtual assistant. And I said, I'm not sure if I've got enough work to keep even one person busy, but I just want to try it out. And he had someone in his business organize, you know, do a little whisper around and find a few people that I could interview. And I interviewed them on Skype, two people. I hired one, and from that one person, we built out a team of over 60 people over the next few years. So I managed to find things for them to do. And in fact, I was so excited about having this access to human resource that I was able to build business models around them and leverage that for their benefit and for my benefit. And here's the simple concept there, and that is that you can buy time.
Absolutely.
If you'd rather not do something, just, you know, someone will sell you their time to do that work. And that's a very exciting way of thinking about it.
Yeah, and it's really about letting go of control, which is one of the biggest, you know, challenges I think that a lot of business owners have. What are some of your favorite websites? So you've done a lot of word of mouth hiring. What are some of your favorite websites, even for to find, let's say, someone in the Philippines or even anywhere in the world? Do you have some favorites?
I've never used one.
Really?
I've never used Odesk or Elance or any of those jobs board, not once ever. And that's just been a unique situation. However, I do have a great contact who I refer people to who are looking for people, because I've now, because of the team that I have and the resources available to us, for a small fee, we can find someone to fit a certain role if they're looking for full-timers in the Philippines. So I've still got this exclusive small network, and so people could get in touch with me and I'll help them out. But yeah, I still haven't, you know, in over a decade online, I haven't had to use any of those services.
It was all word of mouth.
Yeah, I'm not a great person to ask for that, but I am able to facilitate placements through my network.
Yeah. The one service, maybe just for the listeners, in case they're wondering, well, what else is out there? The one that we are using and have been using for probably 8-9 years is a website called Virtual Staff Finders, which I think you know too, Chris Tucker, who set that up. And we've had really good success with them. We've got 4 or 5 people now from them, and they've been with us for a long time. They're amazing people in the Philippines. So if anyone is wondering, that's the one that we are using. In terms of managing your virtual team, what are some of the key tips that you have, even tools, systems, any tips? How do you manage a virtual team?
Well, a great tool for us has been Slack, which is a pretty much a replacement for what people used to use Skype and email to do. And it works well, especially with that generation and that culture. The Slack tool is more of a messaging board, and you can have conversations, but they can be very segmented. You can have separate conversations by teams or departments or job role functions, and you can have different levels of access. So you can have private conversations one-to-one. You can have group conversations and so forth. So it's very flexible, and it allows you to upload pictures and text and to link to things. And that's how we run our business. It's kind of the spine, if you like, and it's super accessible from a phone or a desktop. So it's easy to use and it's not very expensive. So that's been a great tool for us. In terms of other ways to run the business, I would encourage you to have a great communication with your team, to give them great onboarding, like train them and let them know what you expect and what success would look like and how they can know if they're doing a good job, and offer them lots of praise, and at least have a once a week meeting and get to know your people. Visit them if you possibly can. So if you're not running a hybrid version of a business like you are, where you have an office, or if you don't have an office at all, then go and meet your team as regularly as you can to get that intimacy, to get that next level of communication, because it's hard sitting over a computer to really get to know someone, but when you meet people face to face, it just unlocks the next level of performance and context and trust.
Yeah, I agree. And you can even make this like a, I don't know, yearly or so. You know, we just came to your wedding actually in the Philippines, which was amazing. And Greg, one of your guests who is an amazing entrepreneur, and also he runs a design studio, he just had a visit with his team in the Philippines, and they did a sort of a retreat, and he said the same thing. He said it was just amazing to meet everyone, and it just takes the whole team to a new level.
You double performance as a minimum when you meet the team, and Greg has been just a wonderful student of mine, and he's also my designer. So I go to Melbourne for my design. It's not as exotic as Europe, but Greg's a very good designer, and I encourage him to visit the team. And it's really just opens up the dialogue. And you, as you've experienced having an office, you can get more done face to face. It's just that it's not practical all the time. You can also have more people if you have them overseas, and you can have different skill sets. You can source people from wherever the talent is. So exactly. A lot of people will get programmers from Europe or from
India, even
Pakistan,
sometimes, yeah.
Or India, and then there's a lot of design talent in other, you know, Western countries that are going to be top level designers.
Absolutely.
I had a designer in London for the longest time, one of my first $1 million student. He became so successful that he could no longer do my designs anymore. That little rascal, James Dyson.
He dropped you.
Yeah.
You know,
got so busy with his $1 million of optimized press software.
Yeah.
That, you know, I moved on. But Greg's good. Happy with Greg.
Yeah. Shout out to James and Greg. They're both awesome. You know, and quickly, one argument that I do quickly want to sort of,
argument with me?
Yeah, no, you know, in my language, it's an argument, but it's not really an argument. It's more, I don't know what the word is, but there's always a little bit of an elephant in the room when we talk about offshoring. And then I do want to come back to the tools, but, you know, sometimes people go, well, but why would you offshore when you can use Australians and et cetera, et cetera? And I always, actually, I want to hear your, maybe this is not called an argument, but your opinion on this. I certainly have a very clear opinion on this, as with most things. So what do you say when someone says, hey, James, what's the deal? You know, you run your company and you have all these people overseas. What's the deal?
I'd ask them where their phone was made or their sneakers or their shirt. Because they probably have a Chinese-made phone, some clothes made in Bangladesh and or Turkey or somewhere. Like, this is just the world. It's the global economy. And it's okay. You know, the people who I employ, we're creating tremendous opportunities for. I'm not joking when I say that probably each person you hire in the Philippines is probably supporting 5 people because of their family way of living. They're most likely putting siblings or the next generation through school or college. They may be supporting a parent or two or grandparents. It is a very tight-knit family culture. So you can do a lot of good. So when we had 60-something people, firstly, I was able to support a lot more people because if each one of those people was supporting several other people, we were probably supporting hundreds of people in an impoverished society. We were able to help a lot more customers than we could if we had, 10 lazy Aussies
who
were on fat
that.
Wages. Western labor is interesting, but quite often you'll find in the Western society, if you hire a gun and you pay a lot, they do still build up entitlement and complacency. They'll often rip off your business model and go into competition with you. And I haven't found any of those challenges with my overseas team. They're far more appreciative of the opportunity. They're extraordinarily loyal. I've never had a conflict of interest or competition from them. And I'm still able to help more Australian businesses as I was able to help your business and a lot of your customers because of the scale that we're able to get, and we're able to come to the market at a competitive rate. And that's what I mean. Like, the world does balance out, and it's only going to continue. And the number one export market for the Philippines is labor. There are so many people from the Philippines going to other countries supplying labor that they have their own queue at the airport. Did you see that? The offshore workers queue.
No, actually I didn't.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, but I have heard about it. And if anyone of the listeners is wondering, well, what's that business that James is talking about that he had and now sold it? Yeah, I know. I met the guy who bought it also at your wedding.
Isn't he a lovely guy? He's going so well with that business. And part of the key as to why he's going so well, there's two really. One, he's been a student of mine since the very beginning when he sat in an audience. And
very, very humble, James. All your students are ripping, obviously.
Of course, but no. My point is, as a student, he just got these concepts that we're talking about and really applied it. And the second thing is, he took over an established core team who I went and visited. By that stage, I would have visited them 13 times. So I've put a lot of money where my mouth is. I've got on that plane. I've gone over. I've facilitated meetings. I've met with my team. I've trained them face to face. I've really got to know them extremely well. And that's what I'm talking about. Don't have this idea that you're going to hire a robot who can do everything automatically without any training and that you won't have to have any energy expended. That is a myth out there in the marketplace. It's just, I call that a Swiss Army knife. If you're going to get someone that highly trained, they probably have a lot of demand on their services. I like to grow my own, so I usually hire people in We have very solid training fundamentals, and we nurture and look after them and grow them. And that's why we had unbelievable loyalty. Like, we had almost no churn of staff. Like, people would come and they would stay. And over time, with just natural attrition, the occasional person who wanted to, or who got a visa to go and work in Canada or Australia, and they had to leave because they can't afford to live in those places on the wages we were paying in the Philippines. But apart from natural attrition, people just don't leave if you look after them well.
Absolutely. And so if the listeners are still wondering, well, you still haven't told me about the business. It was a search engine optimization business called SEO Partners. Now, the one opinion that I always, come up with when people say, well, why would you hire someone in the Philippines when you can have someone here? And I always say, well, for a lot of businesses and a lot of businesses that are listening, to hire someone, it would potentially mean that they just can't survive. And a lot of businesses are not surviving. So, for some businesses, it's really about, hey, a question of, am I going to get some help to run this business from overseas? It's going to be a lot more cost effective. And it means I can keep growing this business. I can keep making an impact. Or am I going to be on struggle street for the rest of my life until I have to maybe close this business? So, you can't help Australia if your business is not doing well. And if your business is ripping, then you also pay a lot of tax.
Yeah, you're paying
in Australia,
enough. Yeah, you're paying all this tax. You're right.
Exactly.
Pay an enormous amount of tax.
Yep.
And
I'm sure I'm
probably sponsoring the five guys either side of me out there in that lineup. but I used to joke about surfers before I was one. But
oh,
I used to wonder, how do these people have so much time to be surfing?
Yeah, now you're one of them.
I'm one of them, and I think, when you actually get deeper into it, a lot of them are business owners.
Absolutely.
And some of them, you look at the successful surf brands, just as an example, even though it's not popular in the surfing industry, a lot of the boards are being made in other countries, and a lot of the technologies is at a high quality and cheaper to make, like your phones and like laptops and cars and clothes. This is just how we live. And anyone who's this true patriot saying, why aren't you only hiring Australians? I would challenge them to show me how everything in their life was only sourced from Australia, because I doubt it very much.
It's sort of like putting your head in the sand and just, waiting for things to change.
If you want to help Australia, then create a fantastic business,
exactly,
build a lot of value,
and
pay your taxes. And we still employ Australians. I still employ Australian lawyers, accountants, designers, my forum manager. So there's still Australians and of course myself and my wife. We're all on the Australian payroll side of things, and that's great. You get to choose where you want to hire people, who you want to hire, what you want to hire them for, and ideally you do it in a way that allows you to have a sustainable business. In a situation where so many businesses don't survive, a very high proportion of them fail. If you can have a successful, profitable, sustainable business, then that's the responsible thing to do, because that's one of my little bugbears, is that some people rush out, they hire talent, and then they can't afford to keep them, and then they let them go. And these people have a family, they've got commitments. And so if you want to be an employer, please at least be responsible and treat your contractors and your team members with respect and, as a fellow human, have some compassion and don't be so robotic and mechanical about it. These are actual people.
Or go raise some capital and then waste it all on furniture and fancy things. Hey, before I let you go surfing, I have two more questions. Are there any other tools that you want to share that you are using to manage your team? And also, what are some of the biggest stuff ups or mistakes when outsourcing?
Tools, we try and keep it pretty simple. We use Slack as our main hub. We use Google's suite of tools, G Suite, I think they call it now, to store our files. But we just store our folders on Drive there, because it comes with the email and you get a professional email. Give each of your team members an email address from the business so that you can hook them up to their own storage files. We pay them through PayPal. We use a feature called MassPay, which is just a little text file we upload. And I pay in their own currency. I don't make them stock traders or currency traders. That's unfair on them. So I don't pay them in US dollars, I pay them in Filipino pesos. So they have a very stable, consistent, reliable income. I always pay them early. So we're sort of into the mistakes now.
Yeah.
That people don't pay their people well. They don't tell them what they're supposed to be doing. They don't give them any training. They don't support them enough that they can stick around. They offer very little praise and a whole bunch of criticism. They probably not engaging their team members or making them feel appreciated or developing their skill set, because I think a lot of employers have this obsession that the only thing that matters for an employee or an outsource team member is money, but that's really not. Security and training would far and away trump money for a lot of the type of people we're talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. What are some of your biggest stuff ups or even embarrassing moments?
I don't make many mistakes, Francisca, but I'm trying to think. I've deleted my website before, probably more than once. I once deleted my entire Entreport database by accident. So they're the ones where I have that sort of blood rush thinking, oh, my goodness, what have I just done? And now we're going to tell the team about this. But that's actually a good example. It's where I can say to the team, and this is a huge thing really, is if you are going to go down the route of hiring the Philippines, they have a lot of pride, and as a culture, they're a bit shy and they will be worried about making a mistake because they can't afford to lose their job, not when they're putting rice on the table for five people. So they will tend to hold back a bit. So I'm able to come to them and say, hey, guys, guess what? I deleted our entire website. So, you know, I made a mistake. I wouldn't do it again. We've been able to back it up. I just want to let you know that I did that because I'm human and occasionally I make mistakes, and I expect over the course of our employment, you will probably make a mistake. If you do, I just want you to tell me about it so that we can fix it quickly and move forward. It won't be a job killer. They pretty much have to steal or do something malicious or nefarious for them to lose their employment. If they make a genuine mistake in the course of trying something or taking a small risk because they thought it was good for the business, then that's going to be cool. And if you can have that conversation, then that will really unlock your team. And I think a lot of employers are dealing with a locked up team who are not reaching their full potential because they haven't been told that it's okay to extend themselves and to take some risks. And my team members are like, they're real little gamblers now. They take incredible risks, but they make huge progress forward. Like, they might change an entire system or completely rework a page or switch over a platform without any input from me. They just do the research, find out it's better, compare it, make the decision to go ahead, and then implement it. And I won't even find out about it until later. But I'm like, wow, this looks good. What have we done here? And they'll say, well, boss, we couldn't find a tool that does what we wanted to do here, so we taught ourselves Bootstrap, and then we coded it ourselves, and we've created this new quiz function just customized for our website. And I'm like, well done. That's good. But a lot of team members would be too scared to do that, and that's my point.
Yeah, and I think one of your biggest points from this episode is definitely if you look after your team and you train them, then you really can't go wrong. And it's pretty much the same in every culture.
Lots of training. And another tool that we find very handy is GoToMeeting, which we use for our weekly calls. And there's probably a number of alternatives if you want a cheaper option, but I haven't found a better option. I use it from my phone. I can meet with my team from my phone. I give them open access to use it anytime they want to train each other. And it works with minimal internet connectivity, which is probably also important in some places. They're not going to have the same speed of internet as what we have. Although,
I was just going to say, although Australia is a little bit behind the moon.
Half my team have faster internet than I do.
Exactly. Exactly.
But as you know, as a traveler, when you go to a hotel or somewhere, we have very minimal internet. So it's more for me than for them. But I can use GoToMeeting on the weakest of internet connections from my phone. And that's the goal for me is, can I run my business from my phone? And the answer these days is pretty much yes, I can. And that's pretty exciting to think about the possibilities of that.
Yeah, and that's a good question to ask yourself, the listeners too. How much do you need to change to be able to run your business from your phone if you choose to do that?
you know, for me, that meant that I can't use software on my computer. So now my computer is like a dumb terminal. I don't have much in the way of software on my computer. I don't know how to use Photoshop. I don't know how to build a website. I shouldn't have to. I'm one layer back from all of those things. Someone in my team should know how to do that, but it definitely shouldn't be me, because if I know how to do that, then I'm going to want to be doing that. And I've learned one thing for certain. If you don't know how to do something, you won't be doing it.
Exactly. And you know, this brings me to, this is maybe how we end the show, because I think it's a great story. I remember only a few years ago, because everyone, of course, comes along, you know, quite quickly or quicker or faster than others. But I remember we were both in the Dominican Republic a few years ago, and the internet was so bad there, and you were pretty much just frustrated the whole time, shaking your computer, and like, because you had to do stuff, you had to video edit, you had to do all this stuff, and it was just funny to see you. And then only, you know, I think that one trip made you actually realize, hey, I'm doing too much because I'm so reliant on the internet that I don't have right now.
That was the first occasion where I just emailed the team and I said, the internet's shit. I'll just do whatever you do. I'll see you in a week. And I just went offline for a week. It was so appalling, that internet, that it really only worked for like 20 minutes at 4 a.m. when everyone was asleep. So that was when I handed off things like, because we had to buy things with PayPal at that time for our business, and I handed over an account to someone else. Just said, "Can you just take this over?" But the real motivator for me was actually going to the Maldives a year and a half ago. My goal a year before that was, by the time I go on that boat, because you'd scared me off and said there's no internet on the boat.
I might have been wrong.
You were wrong, but it didn't matter. But the point is, by the time I wanted to get on that boat, I wanted to be able to run my business from the phone, and that's been great. I just traveled for 5 weeks, and I think I opened my laptop once in that 5 weeks, the whole time, and that was really only to process some GoPro footage that I'd taken on my surfboard. So it was pretty much an optional activity.
Amazing. Hey, that's been super insightful. I'm sure our listeners are loving this conversation. Thanks again. Thanks so much for sharing your knowledge. Where should we send people if they want to come check you out or check you out surfing?
Yeah, you should check out my rad surfing.
the one with the sun hat?
Yeah, I rock the sun hat, yep. at Cloudbreak.
Very just good style too.
You know you're not stylish when the photographer says, so are you sure you're going to wear the hat? And like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to wear that.
It's not the best style, but I think you get away with it because you're still a little bit nerdy, James.
That's it. My son said, just put it on Facebook and be proud of it. Just own it. Just say no one rocks his son out like
this. You certainly owned it. So do you have a website?
Yeah, superfastbusiness.com.
Awesome. Hey, have fun in the surf, and I hope that shark that was up here before it isn't down there yet.
I hope so too, but if it does make it all the way down here, you probably have one of the most valuable podcasts of my legacy.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much. Chat soon.
See ya.
Bye.
To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.